All right. Well, look, let's get in it. Let's get in it. We can. I'm gonna teach from Philippians this morning. We can be in Philippians, or we can go over to James. Y'all know we can go anywhere. There ain't no limitations. No limitations on what we can look at. That is a good word. That is a good word. Philippians 2:15. What you see in that, brother?
Well, several things.
Mm-hmm.
The first statement is that you may be blameless.
Yeah.
And harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to be blameless and harmless.
We sure do.
That's part of us interacting with the world out here. We want to be blameless and harmless to whoever it is. And now we need to talk truth to them, but we need to be blameless and harmless.
Yeah.
As the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, among whom, this is what we're going to do, you shine as lights to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to be doing.
Yes, that is key. Amen. That is key.
That's the essence of how a Christian should act in the world out here, is harmless and, but shining light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway.
And you, when you look at verse 12 is going to tell us how this is going to be made possible for us. Where he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Meaning you don't necessarily need me here for you to do this.
Right.
You have been good in doing what I asked when I was with you. Now that I'm not with you, even more so, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. What God's worked in, you let it flow out.
Right.
Work it out. You don't need me to hold your hand to do it. Meaning Paul saying you don't need me. You've been obedient. Now in my absence, continue even much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. It's God in you who is giving you the passion and the purpose to do what He's given you to do, that you may do His good pleasure. It's His good pleasure, because this is not my good pleasure, this is His good pleasure. There's a tendency to attach a teaching to a man, like Paul. But he's saying, this ain't me, this is God at work. You know, this is God giving this right here. And you don't need me for you to do it. You got Him at work in you. You follow with me?
Right.
So you work out what He's working in, and notice that, for it is God who works in you both to desire and do, to will and to do for His good pleasure. He's going to give you the affection for it and the ability to fulfill it. He's going to give you the passion to want to, and then the power to see it through.
Yeah.
It's Him at work in you. Not me at work in you. It's Him at work in you. Yeah, that's important for us to recognize. And that's why He's wanting to disassociate the fact that you were good to walk in it when I was with you, but even more so that I'm not with you, because it wasn't me that was working in you. It's God working in you.
Right.
And you can do this and walk this out with Him, and you don't need me to be among
you. God's always going to be with you.
That's right. Look in Hebrews. We see the same thing in Hebrews 13. Look in Hebrews 13. This would be this same idea that is a closing prayer in Hebrews 13:20. You'll see the connection here. This is how this is made possible and why it can be. But this is Philippians 2:13 in essence. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up, raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead, who is Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, how are they sheep? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may make you complete. In every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. But notice that. Who's going to make you complete? God's going to make you complete.
Yeah.
What is He going to do in making you complete? He's going to make you complete in every good work. He's going to start it. He's going to sustain it. He's going to fulfill it. He's going to do it in you, working in you, what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. You're never going to be able to separate the work from Jesus. And you'll never be able to separate the work from the Father at work in you. You could only be part of the Father because of the blood of the Lamb. But now they are in you, and while they in you, they're going to work with you by faith, and they're going to work through you to glorify themselves to fulfill their will in your life. And that's the exact same thing of working out that salvation. That is saying, hey, if God's working in you, He's working in you to get out of you. So as we look, you see, that's a great word right there in Hebrews 13. A great prayer for one another. That God would complete us in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Man, do we ever need that, huh?
Amen.
So when you look back at Philippians 2:13, you see that. For it is God who what works in you both to will, to desire, to delight, to do His good pleasure.
Amen.
It's God at work. So you now are going to what? God works in you. How do you work it out when you work with Him?
Amen.
How do you work with Him? Through faith.
Come on.
And when He's working in you and you're working with Him, guess what God's going to do? He's going to work through you. And when He works through you, He then glorifies Himself through your life. And that is where you see 2:14 come to play. If God's working in you and you're working with Him, something you're not going to do is you're not going to complain and murmur.
Come on.
You're not going to dispute.
Yeah.
Why? It's God at work in you.
Yeah.
And if He's at work, it's grace at work.
Yeah.
And grace is going to be imparted to the hearers.
That's right.
Therefore, you will be blameless and harmless because what you're transferring is not death, you're transferring life. And that life is eternal. And that life is light. And that's how you shine in this world we live in. That you may be harmless, blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a dark, crooked, perverted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul is saying that if you are living in any other way, the labor that I put in with you would be useless because the goal is you shine as lights.
Amen.
That's the goal. The goal is God working in you. You working with Him and Him working through you. And anything short of that, my time with you would be rewarded because I did what I was supposed to do. But the fruit of that would come to nothing because you're not doing what the intent of the labor was for. You notice how he ties that together, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run or labored in vain. Man.
Yeah. Come on.
We don't want our stuff to be in vain, right?
That's right.
Empty, wasted time investing in someone or a group of people who are not going to walk out what God's working in them. That would be a waste.
Yeah.
Anything short of that's a waste. And man, we want to be able to rejoice, right? Because of the fruit that is going to be. As Paul would say, everywhere he goes, he wants to have fruit among them. Well, that right there, when you're blameless and harmless in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation and you shine as lights, that means you're going to have fruit in this dark world. That there are going to be people that's going to grab a hold of this. There's going to be people who are going to turn to Jesus when it gets dark in their life. And you're going to be there to help them. And then in the day of Christ, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have fruit from this person who won this person, and that person won this person, and that one won this one, and this one won that one. In the day of Christ, guess what? They all stand before the Lord because somebody started the work in your life and you kept it rolling, and now you've got 1,000 people in a lineage for over 2,000-3,000 years that have been won because you were faithful to do what you were supposed to do. And then you stand before the Lord one day in the day of Christ, and now they've got 1,000 believers who believe Jesus because you, 1,000 years ago, was a light in the world. You follow with me? That's what he's referring to. That's the idea of these things are going to have an everlasting effect that God's going to win people over through their life. And that's the whole point, as you've heard me teach before, and I may even draw it out this morning, that right now their stars are still shining.
Yeah.
Even though we can't see them, they're there.
They're there.
Why can't we see them?
The sun's too bright.
It's too much light. But soon as it starts getting dark, those brightest stars start popping up. That we said they've always been there.
Yeah.
They've been there the whole time.
That's right.
We just can't see them because there's too much light. We see we live in a dark and perverse world who are operating in artificial light. They feel like they've got light, but that light is darkness, but they don't see it as darkness. Therefore, they can't see your light.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a point in their journey that the darkness has set in on them. And when they do, we want to be shining when they couldn't see us shining. So when they can see you, now you stand out like a sore thumb and they say, wow, they've been faithful in doing what they're doing. They didn't change. I'm the one who's seeing things different now. And man, what can you help me with? And now they point them to him who's what? Working in them.
Amen.
That they're working with. Now he's worked through them to reach another soul for the glory of God. That's how that works. People on the job and people in the communities and people where we go that just don't see the light, they're operating in some sort of light they have, but they don't realize the light they have is dark. That's why they can't see you shining for the glory of Jesus. But he says, you stay what? Harmless. You stay true. You let God work it out because there's going to come a point in their life when things are going to get dark for them.
Yeah.
Troubles are going to come. Trials are going to happen to them. And all that they've been dependent upon, that false light, is all of a sudden going to be exposed that they're in the dark and don't have solutions. But man, you've been doing what you've been doing all this time and you haven't wavered. And man, they look and say, can you help me? Why are you hopeful in a time like this? As Peter would say, they're going to ask you. And then you be ready to what? Tell them. That's what? God working in you. God working through you. And so you've heard me use those three phrases, in, with, and through. Because that's how it works. In, with, through. He works in you so that you can work with him through faith. That he can work through you. And when it's him working through us, that's how he glorifies himself in the world that we live in.
Amen.
He's got to work in us. We, by faith, work with him. And then he works through us. And that's what you see historically through the Word. It says that God worked, but they didn't work with him.
Yeah.
God worked, but they didn't work with him.
Yeah.
God still glorified himself, but not through them.
That's right.
God worked, but he didn't work in them. And when he don't work in them, he can't work with them. And when he don't work with them, you're not going to see God glorifying himself through their life. So that's what we want. As these passages say, hey, it's God who works in you. Now you work with him in faith. That's how he's going to work it out of you. And when he does, you are going to bear the DNA of him. And who is he? He's light. And you're going to shine like he is. For an example, look in John. We just read it in John. Look in John 12. He says that. John 12, I think John 12, 36 is what I'm looking for. John 12, 36.
While you have light.
While you have the light. Believe in the light. Work with the light. That, purposeful, you might become what? Children of light, or sons of light. I think in our reading this morning in James, what did it say? That we've been brought forth, we've been born again. Amen. And he say that? There is no variation, a shadow of
turning.
God doesn't waver. Who we are, first fruits of his creation. We bear DNA of his in the sense that characteristically the sons of light look like the light. Look in James. Go to James. These are all cross references that we can use that says the same thing. As sons of light, children of light, shining as light, it's a product of God working in us, with us, and through us. James 1. Notice verse 17. This is a characteristic of God. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of what?
Lights.
With whom, this our Father, this light, there is no alteration or shadow of turning in the sense he don't vary. He's true. If he's light, he stays light. There's no darkness in him, right? So there is no variation or shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, and we know truth is light.
Amen.
By the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That we would what? Look like him. That we would identify with him as sons of light.
Amen.
He's the Father of light. We're the children of light.
Wow.
You follow with me? That's what that's saying. You were born again to look like the Father of lights.
Come
on. Now, what he's done in you, what he's put in you, he wants you to believe him, trust him, work with him in faith.
Amen.
And he's going to shine out of you. Because he's the one who's put it in you. You think about it. How many of us resemble our family members with DNA features, genetic features? If you looked at me and my two brothers, and you brought both my mom and dad in here, you'd be able to say them three guys are brothers.
Yeah.
And they look like their dad and resemble their mother. It's a blend. I've been in town in Meridian, Mississippi, and had a guy stop me and ask me if I was Jeremy Holden's brother. I said, "Man, you look like Jeremy Holden."
There you go.
I said, "That is my brother."
Yeah.
He was from Bogalusa, Louisiana. Went to church at Ben's Ford Baptist Church and was in dirt cheap buying books because they had some books in there. And he heard about them, and he was in seminary in Laurel, so they drove up here. Him and some other guys, and when he saw me walking through, he stopped me and said, "Man, you got to be a Holden. Do you know Jeremy Holden?" I said, "Yeah, he's my brother." Y'all look too much alike. I said, "Yeah, that's my brother."
Yeah.
Why? We resemble. You get Joe the same way. Well, this is the whole point. He is our Father, and we've been brought forth, born again by his truth, His light. And now because we're sons of light, we're going to reflect Him. We're going to look like Him. And that's what He's telling us as we shine in Philippians. Here it is in James. The same thing. Just let Him work in you. Man, He's going to bring the light out of you. It's not your light. It's His light that you've inherited from Him.
My light would be vain.
Yeah, it's empty. Yeah. That's why, Jesus taught that the eye of a man is the well spring to the light that's in him. And if he sees things that he thinks is light, but the truth reveals it's dark, the light that he has is dark. And how great is that darkness? You see, how we perceive things is a matter of how we see things from within. And you can put two people side by side and show them the exact same thing, and depending on what light is in them is going to determine how they see it.
That's right.
Well, so you got to have light in you to see light the way God perceives it. So that's why light is so important. That's why he says, if your light be dark, how great is your darkness? That's what the world lives in. That's that evil and perverse generation who think they have light because it takes light to see. You take a blind person. Why does a blind person blind? Because their eyes do not transfer light. It takes light to see. That's why we can't see in the dark. And it takes a little while for your eyes to adjust in a dark situation, because it's your pupils are opening up so that it can draw in as much light that is possible. Even though it's dark, there's still light there. So your eyes are drawing that in to be able to see. We see we have eyes of the soul that see life. And if we see life contrary to how God sees life, we perceive everything wrongly. That's why we've got to have light within us. And that's why he's saying when you have the light, believe in the light that you may be children. You may inherit the same features of him who is light of the world.
It's amazing when you're in total darkness, like in a cave, how a little match way off. This was, they turned all the lights out in Carl's death. Okay. And they struck a match. I think it was 30 or 40 yards away. And it was just as bright as you, I mean, you could see.
That it illuminated.
It illuminated easy.
Yeah.
But then when they turned the lights back on, you couldn't see that match no more. I mean, he still had it lit up there, and they turned the lights back on. And
yeah.
It was so far away you couldn't see.
Yeah, because true light always dispels darkness.
Yeah.
Even the smallest bit of it. Yeah. And how fast the darkness flees when the lights come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, when the light hits, the darkness flees.
Gone.
Can't overcome it.
No.
And that's what happens within us when Jesus says, let there be light. The darkness that was in us, it flees. It's gone. The darkness, they just part of the darkness. That's that evil and adulterous generation is in the dark. They were born in the dark, they live in the dark until the light is turned on. And
it was in us at one time.
That's right, that's right. We've had to be delivered out of that.
Yes.
Look in Colossians before people start showing up. Let's see, which they ought to be coming in the door. Good morning. Look out. Look, hey, we got a record going on. We got a record going on. We're giving away money today. Colossians. Look in Colossians 1. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see y'all. Colossians 1. Look at this. This will bless you right here. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of, hey boys, from the authority, the power, the grip of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Man, you had to be rescued out of it. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it is good to see y'all this morning.
Good
Good to see you.